dedicate this temple to you, Lord. Let your glory fill this sanctuary. Be enthroned on the praises of your people, Lord. We agree. In his presence.
take these knees to the Lord. Let's sing. There's healing in the presence. Amen. Do you believe that? In the presence, there's healing in the presence of the Lord. There's healing in the presence, healing in the presence. Amen. Why don't we stand together, lift our hands to Him and sing, I'm free in His presence, and I'm free. I'm free in His presence. Yes, I'm free. And I'm healed in His presence. I'm forgiven. I'm not the same. Changed forever. His presence. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Aaron Oglesby if he'll come open the service for us in prayer. As he comes, we want to mention a few requests this morning. We want to pray for Sister Angelina Havens. She's planning to attend the meetings this weekend, but just having some severe back pain. Ask that we would remember her. The Lord would just heal her. Also, Sister Sandra Graves of Arkansas. She's having severe problems with her heart. They can't treat her because she's having also some problems with her blood sugar. So just remember that request in prayer. Amen. Amen. If you have a need, just lift it to Him this morning. Amen. How many believes there's healing in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Let's just go to Him together in prayer.
Father, Lord God, we just want to tell You this morning that we love You, Lord. Lord, we've gathered together this morning, Lord, and may we not just take it for granted as another gathering of people, but Lord, may we recognize this as a predestinated moment that we've arrived at, Lord God. Lord, may we step into that moment, step into what it is that You have for us this morning, Lord Jesus, that before the foundation of the world, Lord, You saw us here. You saw us worshiping, Lord God, and You saw, Lord, the thought that You would put on the manservant's heart to deliver to Your people, Lord. Lord, I pray You'll anoint that man this morning that he can get himself out of the way and let You just flow through him, Lord, directly to our hearts. And Lord, not only him, but Lord, may the word find good ground this morning, Lord Jesus. May our hearts, Lord God, be anointed to hear. May our ears hear, Lord Jesus, what it is that the Spirit is speaking to us this morning, Lord God. Lord, I just ask that You'll walk up and down the aisles of this building and walk up and down the aisles of every heart, Lord, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart and speaking directly to the needs of the people, Lord. That's the kind of God that we know You to be, the kind of God that cares and knows about each and every individual and each and every problem. And Lord, before that problem or situation ever arose in our lives, Lord God, You had already provided the answer. And Lord, I'm so thankful to know I serve a living God that has never failed, that has never let me down in any situation, but You promised You'd never leave me and never forsake me, Lord God, and I found You to always be true. And Lord, I know You're here this morning to meet every need. Lord, for the prayer request that went forth, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that the healing hands, Lord God, will begin to move over each and every situation. Lord, the needs in the lives, whether it's spiritual or financial or domestic, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that each situation, Lord God, would find the answer in You this morning. We know that You've provided it, Lord. I just pray that You'll bless this service, that everything is done, Lord God, to please You, Lord. We give it to You now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him to the house of the Lord. Amen. How many's happy to be here again this morning? Brother Wayne is happy to be here this morning. How many else is happy to be here this morning? Amen. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise. What it has in store, I will praise. Amen. Sing it with all your heart now. Oh, and I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. And no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has. Family would like to work it out, but we just want them to work it out. Amen? Amen. How many would love to hear them sing again? Amen. Amen. So, Brother Wendell, it's not me. It's just the will of the people. If you want to start making your way up here, amen. Let's sing that chorus again. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We'll sing it again now. Oh, bless.
And the fact is, it's raged on for so long that your steps have grown weary and sore. Oh, but that's just the facts of the matter. The truth has the truth says.
That God is on your side. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Well, that should deserve a little bit more shouting than that. Hallelujah. We're a blessed people here tonight or this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I know Brother Sean preached last night. Do you have a voice to sing with us? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God is so good to us, and amen, we've heard that y'all been having some wonderful meetings, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. Isn't it wonderful when we can all get together like this and enjoy each other's presence and worship the Lord, and amen, it means everything to us. Amen. Daystar? Praise the Lord. We don't get to sing together like this hardly at all, so this is a real treasure for me. Praise the Lord. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your life. I pray, Jesus, shine on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Master of
Stand together. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. We can say this morning, Jesus, shine down on me. Amen. As we change the order of the service. Amen. Why don't we just say to him this morning, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Amen. Don't you want another touch from the Lord? Amen.
Don't you want him to come to you today? That ought to be the cry of every heart. Lord, don't pass me by. Come by my pew, come by my way, and speak to me. Amen. We're living in a day where Satan is going about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. But you know, the Bible never said he was a roaring lion. No, it said he was like a roaring lion. You see, all he is an impersonator. But we have a real lion, and that is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the king. The other is only a fake impersonator. Amen. It was Charles Spurgeon that said one time, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. Amen. We're going to let the word do its work this morning. Amen. Build a fence, a defense around you, a wall of fire that nothing can penetrate. We're here to worship God. We're here to receive him this morning. Amen. It's certainly my privilege to introduce to you our friend, my precious friend, Brother Ron Spencer. Amen. We've fought many battles together. God put us together for a reason and for a purpose. And I'm just delighted that he's here in this meeting to be able to minister the word of God. For when God ascended on high, the Lord Jesus, he sent gifts back to men. And he predestinated certain gifts for this age and time. Certainly we could say God predestinated a messenger to this age like he did every age. Amen. We're not unique in that we received a messenger and the others didn't. But every age has received their messenger, who is the light of God, brought the light of the day star, the sun, to shine down upon, break through the gloom and the darkness. And especially so in our day, for it shall be light in the evening time. Amen. When the gloom and the darkness would break away, and the same sun that shone in the morning sun, is the same light in the evening time, the evening light. I'm glad to have that light today, right now. Amen. That we're walking in the same light, the light of the evening time, that the day has come and has dawned upon us, coming in at the end time, at the last day. But God predestinated not only messengers to the age, but he also predestinated some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists and pastors. Brother Branham said, as you heard last night, some of them, they dramatize and some teach and some are fiery evangelists. God's got all types. And it's his arsenal. Amen. It's his weapon. It's his dresswear against the enemy. And I'm glad to know that God has men of God in this day that are not afraid to preach the word of God. Amen. That are not afraid to take the devil and say, Satan, you cannot stay any longer. But we're the sons of God. We're taking our place and our authority in this age. But we recognize who we are and what we've been called for. Amen. So I want you to invite the Lord to speak to you today. As our brother Ron Spencer comes. God bless you, brother Ron. Take your liberty in the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. God bless you. What a great day. The Lord declared that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That just so happens to be us this morning. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Would you invite him just now to where you're sitting? Because he comes to meet your need today. Now, I, as a man, would not dare try to guess your need, but he knows. We've saw him operate in this evening hour. He knew their name. He knew their address. He knew their condition, both spiritual and physical. He knew about their family trees. Isn't it wonderful that the great God of heaven, that fills all time, space, and eternity, is concerned about you? There are moments that you don't feel important. There are moments that you feel worthless, as Brother Sean said last night. But God left the portals of glory to come to minister to your hearts. Even today, to gather us from all parts of the earth to speak to our hearts. And what incredible meetings that we've had so far. But he's an I am God to come to this morning to speak to our hearts. And just like yourself, I have need that he's come by my way. Let's call out to a living God this morning. Almighty God, we bow our heads to the dust which we came. Lord, we are so thankful for your grace and mercy. Lord, without you, we could do nothing. Without you, where would we be today? That's almost mind-boggling. It's not what you brought us from. Oh, we can go back and go through the horrible times of our lives. But I so appreciated what Brother Sean said last night. Those were the things that you allowed. But God, you are rich in mercy to us. Maybe there's someone here this morning that don't know you. Oh, that you would just come and sweep by their way. And may they recognize the awesome presence that's already in this building. Lord, the day star that has arose in our hearts today, I ask you that you'd meet needs across this audience. It doesn't matter whether it's morning or evening, you're God. And I ask you today that you would anoint these thoughts and these words. And if there would be any gift that we would have, Father, that you've attributed to us, may it be to get ourselves out of the way. Bless these great men of God that have came to speak this week. And Lord, we ask you that you would once again be with Brother Biskel and his family. Lord, we just ask you that you'd strengthen all of them there. Lord, now we ask you for a special blessing on Brother Tim and Brother Timothy and the ministers here and this wonderful church. This is the place where you wanted a banner risen. In a dark world, you said there'll be a people in that area that'll stand for the word of God. I ask you to bless them today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Isn't he good to us? Amen. Well, I would like to congratulate, I guess, the oldest couple that I've ever saw get married. When Brother Tim sent me word the other day of Brother and Sister Rissler getting married, I just wept. And I thought, God, you're so wonderful. You're just so wonderful. So I congratulate you, and amen, what a wonderful thing. I hope they're here to hear that. Amen. Amen. We love you. Amen. I hope you get a chance. If you haven't met him, he's quite a guy and she's quite a lady. So, amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't God do everything well? If you will turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, then we'll go to Mark chapter 16. These are some of the last words that Jesus would say to his disciples, the most inner circle of believers of that day. I believe we're at another last few hours just before the coming of the Lord. And the word is eternal. It doesn't have time sensitivity to it. It's eternal. And I just want to share what the Lord has laid on my heart today. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he even says, amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. And afterward he appeared unto the 11 that as they sat at meat and upbraided them and with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to follow that with some scripture that 100% pertains to us this morning. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, I trust that you have that. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I'd like to speak to you this morning on hidden drive, what God has deposited. God had a vision before the foundation of the world that you would be here. He predestinated you. We've heard this week of how that God went fishing. God is a particular fisher because he knows where it's at. We hear the prophet of God talk about that Peter was always, he was a fisherman, and he would go around with a hook in his pocket. And there was a need one day to where that they were concerned about the taxes. They were concerned about having money to pay taxes and concerned about some things. And so Brother Branham puts it in kind of a story for him, and he says that Jesus turned to Peter and told him to take the hook that was in his pocket and to go to a certain place and to put his hook in the water, and there would be a fish there. Not only there would be a fish there to grab a hold of that hook, but that hook, that fish would have money in its mouth sufficient for the need. Now Jesus knowed where that fish was. Jesus knowed that it had money in its mouth. And that's more than by a chance or by an occasional, what you might say, story that or even legend story, because God knew where that fish was at. God knew where you were at. God predestinated you before the foundation of the world, and there's nothing that happens by chance. We can look at it as this God's vision. I'd like to just kind of bring it in and kind of just share some of my thoughts with this morning. We are a continuation of the vision of God. And God has a vision that is ever unfolding, and sometimes it's just so mysterious. Sometimes we think that we're walking blindly and we don't know what tomorrow holds for us or what God wants us to do. Many times we're thinking that we're going to fulfill our purpose, but we realize that we're prisoners to Him and we're here to fulfill His purpose. And God has a mission that He wants to accomplish. And He called you on the earth to fulfill that mission. He needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your eyes. He needs your body to work with. He needs your vocal cords to be allowed to surrender under the will of God. Men surrender their body and bring themselves under great ambitions of life and become star athletes or star musicians or even the president of the United States of America. But you have a higher calling than any of that, to be sons and daughters of Jesus Christ living on this earth. I want you to understand, sometimes we think, well, when we get there, let me just say you're missing the picture of what God wants you to do here. Are you with me? You can create an atmosphere around you of peace and power and love. And you can take the word of God that is sitting there in prophetic form and in potential form and speak that word of God, because you are who you are and what you've been sent here to do. This is not an hour of boredom. This is not a just filling time. We're on a mission. A couple of years ago, my buddy sitting to my right, your left, he began to tell me about, there's just something in my heart. I want to buy a piece of property. We're looking for a piece of property to add on. And he bought this piece of property, and I would later get to see it. And he would begin to, I remember the day he would hold his hands out like this, and he would tell me, this is where the building was set, and this is what I'd like to do this. And one day he brought a set of plans out, and it was, he said, I want to show you some blueprints. And he was beginning to work things in his mind. I want this room bigger than this room, and I want it bigger than what this print says, and I'd like to expand the building. And he's being moved. Now, it wasn't because that he needed it. It wasn't even because he wanted it. Because if we're not careful, we get to a spot. Stay with me. Please don't hang up the phone. It's because if we're not careful, we'll get to a spot in our own minds of satisfaction, and this is the way that it's always going to be. But God deposits something inside of us, and something begins to drive us. It actually begins to awaken us at night. It's our thoughts during the day. It becomes literally the theme behind our thoughts, and we begin to be driven, and many times don't even know why we're being driven, how we're being driven. We're just being driven. Now, maybe for some of you, and I haven't asked for permission, so I'm just going. I'm just venturing. Because I learned to listen to my boss a long time ago. Now, no doubt when he began to share that vision with me, I stepped into that in my heart, and I tried to see it in my own mind. Now, maybe you said and you listened and you begin to think about, you know, maybe even in your thought, do we need this? What is going to be the purpose? We're happy here. But you see, God has a plan. And this plan is much beyond a man's plan. This plan becomes greater than families. It becomes greater than the ambition of a minister. If we could only look in beyond the realm today, God has a mission. And this mission is much greater than even the ability of a man.
But he needs a man to begin to step into the work. Let me just take it back, and I'm sorry to have to start this way because I want to talk about you in just a few minutes. You see, God put something in David that David could build a temple before God. No doubt there was a lot of buildings on the earth that was incredible temples or incredible worship places. But his God didn't have the proper place. And he, just something was driving him. He was driven in a lot of different directions. And finally, one day, God drops it in his heart. I'll not allow you to build it because there's much blood on your hands. But I will allow your son to build it. But then he begins to place something in his heart to begin to gather the materials, to bring all of the materials to the place. And listen, what an incredible mission that was, to gather all of the materials. Many of those materials would become from far lands and would come at great value, and it would come at great cost, and it would be an incredible mission just to gather all of the materials, knowing I'm not going to be able to put it together. Are you with me? But it was, God had a plan. God had a mission. God had a place. Solomon would begin to work, and I'm not going into the grace of Solomon's life, but Solomon began to work, and he would begin to build. Solomon couldn't do this by himself. Solomon could only take Daddy's vision and begin to bring it forth to the people. And then he had to catch that revelation for himself and begin to deliver it to a people. Now listen, Solomon could speak, and he could had words like only God had. He had the wisdom of God placed in human being, but he could only take those words and take that vision and take those plans and just set forth and begin to set forth an inspiration. Men begin to gather from all the lands of the earth, not just normal men, but men with incredible gifts. Maybe they did a lot of odd jobs in their life, but God had trained them specifically to do a job. And they had honed their skill, not knowing that one day I'll have the opportunity to be a part of building the temple of the Almighty God. That was God's plan. That was God's mission. That was God's purpose. There's a lot of great buildings that are around, but God had a plan. I want a building. I can be scolded after service. It'll be all right. But God had a plan. I want a building. And I want it unlike all of these other buildings. They have blueprints like, they have buildings like, but I want this building a certain way. Maybe as you begin to look at it, you thought, how can we do it? How can we do it? But you don't understand. God deposited the drive inside of you. And maybe even some of your hours have been untold. And incredible hours that you've worked. And maybe laid aside time of your family. And you've literally went beyond your own human potentials. But you didn't realize that there was a God that has a work that he wants to get done. So he will anoint men with specific purpose and with specific being, and anoint them and place them at the right spot at the right time. And all of a sudden, they're doing God's work. You say, well, Brother Ron, I want to be in the vision of God. I want to declare to you this morning, you are. You absolutely are. Many of us would have liked to have been there when Lazarus was risen out of the tomb. We would have liked to visibly watched when Jesus came forth out of the tomb. We would have liked to watched him ascend. We would have liked to heard him give them these last instructions. It's always towards the end of a sermon, you listen to your pastor, you listen to ministers begin to declare unto you, and they've got just a few moments left to speak to you, and they're going to give their driving force that's behind that sermon, the very inspiration or the text that is behind the text, and they begin to deliver it. Jesus only has a few words left on the earth, and he begins to declare it to his disciples. These men that are sitting in front of him are going to be men. They may not look like much, but these are going to be men that's going to carry the gospel in power and demonstration and going to deliver it with all of their hearts. They're not philosophers. They're not great doctors. They're not great teachers. But these are men that God's going to fill with his own life. That's what he's done in this day. He's filled you with his own life. He's placed his own attributes on the inside of you. It's a place where many things will happen. It's a place where we would say we've had some phenomenal services in past. And I'd say that this message, we may have our critics, but we've had the greatest prophet that ever stood on the face of the earth. And for those that want to contest the messenger that God sent to us, just bring us a man. If he wasn't the messenger, just bring us the man. That when he walked through the door, people got off of their cots and got out of their wheelchairs. Just bring us the man that has as much to say in one paragraph. Come on, let's just face the issue now. There's not a philosopher. There's not a great teacher anywhere that could stand and within a matter of few paragraphs confound the religions of the world. He said more in a few paragraphs than all of your television evangelists will say in years to come. He had no schools to back him up. He had no governments to back him up. He was backed up by God himself. Hallelujah. It was God that came and vindicated this word. And I would say this to you, God sent this message with purpose. God sent this message with ambition. God sent this message with drive on the inside of it. It's more than books, and we appreciate that. It's more than tapes, and we appreciate that. It's more than pictures on our wall, and we appreciate that. It's more than stories, and we appreciate that. But this message lives. Hallelujah. Sometimes as ministers, we become intimidated. Honestly, we become intimidated by watching other ministers of how that they stand and deliver. Whether you know it or not, God has been at great work with those men. Behind the scenes, as they deliver the word of God, it was great work to chisel away personal ambition and personal goals and personal opinions and personal thoughts But before he could get them to deliver the word accurately and purely and rightly divided, he had to get them out of the way. As ministers, as you watch a man stand in the pulpit, some with gray hair, some with no hair, some, I'm not going there. Whether their voices are squeaky or their voices are profound, God takes that man. He thought of that man before the foundation of the world. It's not by accident that he's standing there, but he put something on the inside of that man that that man can't control himself. As the prophets of the Old Testament said, it's like a fire that shut up in my bones. They would like to have quit. They don't like to went their own way, but you cannot, because it's not you that's doing the driving force. It's God that's doing the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not, as men, we're not concerned with size of crowds. At least we shouldn't be. We're not concerned with you falling in love with us so much. But we want you to fall in love with him. Now, you say, Jesus makes these statements. All powers in heaven and earth is given into my hand. Go. That statement within itself is incredible. Go. And I'll go with you. I'm not a preacher. Maybe you're a housewife. I want you to know you're the preacher to your home, pastor to your children. Fathers, we have a leadership that God commands us and requires of us. Are you with me? Church starts at home. That's where it starts. We're not following the pattern of the rest of the community. Are you with me? We're not following their pattern. We're not following how their teenagers act. And we're not following how other mothers and fathers conduct themselves. I believe that we can have homes that are power-packed by the Holy Ghost. It can be homes to where that the Holy Ghost can come in our prayer meetings at home. And when we're listening to the Word of God, and that presence can come into our homes to charge us to live an overcoming life every day. Go and I'll go with you. What an incredible thought. Go and I'll go with you. Notice these words. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. The prophet of God will use some terms, and he used a term called final voice to the final age. He used a term called invincible army. Never allow those words to go across your lips or your ears and just think, well, those are just nice poetic words. That's what God thought of you. Are you with me? That's what God thought of you. Are you with me now? Well, sometimes we're waiting on somebody else, and we're waiting on this one, or we're waiting on that one. Well, let me just say this to you. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can do it like you. Because God made you in a certain way. And he put in a certain characteristics on the inside of you. Whether you're 10 years old or you're 90 years old, you've got work to do. We had a lady that was in our church. And she had a debilitating stroke, and it was so debilitating the last 9 years of her life. She laid and was not able to just grunt, but just a little bit, and she could form some words. When we had her funeral, many of that nursing home came, and they did a phenomenal job taking care of her. And they confessed to me over and over again, even in her condition, She was a witness to the entire nursing home. Are you with me now? Even in her condition, every one of us has got a story. We don't know exactly what is going to turn in our life, and we've all had some dark valleys, and we've all had some great mountaintop experiences. But Brother Branham said about character, he said, you have to fight for every inch of the ground. It's not given to you. It's not some magic. It's not some mythical potion or just say a few words or listen to a certain tape and I get it. It is a constant eating of the Word of God. It is a constant unfolding in your life, and the very life of God will completely live. Let me just say this to you. It's not he might live. He will live in your life. If you will surrender your will to Almighty God. Let me just drop a couple characters. The Apostle Paul comes in Hebrews chapter 11. And he begins to pick out some characters and he begins to drop it down. The Apostle Paul being one of the greatest writers of our Bible. And today he's going to be commissioned. God's going to allow him to talk about drive, purpose. He's going to allow him to take people's lives and literally encapture it in just a matter of a few scriptures. Now, let me just say, there are some people, such as Abraham, that fills volumes of books. And there's literally tens of thousands of words that are said about Abraham. But Abraham was an attribute of God. He was a gene seed of God that God thought of before the foundation of the world. God knew what he would be. As the prophet would say, before he was formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you ever arrived, he knew you were coming. Now, our prophet would stand one night and he would take a character out of the scriptures. This man would not be given volumes of books. He would be given one scripture. And every one of us would identify him real quickly. That man would be Shamgar. And just the mention of his name sends a feeling across the audience. Are you with me? He didn't have to have his name called 10,000 times. He was literally in a battle and he'd been robbed every year, but one day he recognized who he was, that he was a seed of Abraham, and he came to the revelation of who he was. And if you can come to that day and that hour to realize who you are, not that somebody else convinced you of it or it felt good, but you realize without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, when that comes to you, there's not a devil in hell can shake that away from you. Notice how Paul writes it. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson. Jephthah, of David, volumes of books, volumes of history. And Paul is just mentioning them by name. You say, well, Brother Ron, we've heard that 1,000 times. Oh, in hell, how it must make them shudder. In hell, how it must make them shudder, Brother Tim, at just the mention of their name. There was a time spot to where these men, their attributes was allowed to be made manifest. And they realized their position, and they realized their job, and they surrendered to the will of God. And they shook the world. They wasn't looking for personal applause. They wasn't looking for someday somebody's going to make something out of my life. But my purpose on the earth is to fulfill His will. Hallelujah. Whether you live 50 years or 90 years, it's not the matter. The most important thing that we can capture in our lives is, did we serve Him with everything that is in our hearts? I want to stop just a moment. This is more than a motivational speech. I come here on a mission this morning, and I'm excited to stand behind here and speak to you what God has dropped in my heart. I've not spoke some of these things before, but I'm excited to tell you and the unseen audience, there's great work yet to be done. There's great work to be done. And God needs your hands. God needs your vocal cords. God needs your energies. We talk about writing a book of Acts. You're the one that he'll write a book of Acts behind it. Sure, there'll be days of great glory, but there'll be great days of great sorrow and great agony. But he made you a promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. That's you that he's talking about. That's moms and dads and children. Hallelujah. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. What a statement. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Hallelujah. That they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Those words, you've read them hundreds of times as believers, maybe even thousands, and you just allow it to go through. They were stoned. But there was a man named John Wesley that read the same book that you're reading here. And five times in his life, even being the messenger of the age, a man 5'1", redheaded, stood under the inspiration, not understanding everything. He had to leave the old church. He had they created behind him a new method of movement, they called it. He didn't understand it all, but he was driven. He was driven to preach 8 sermons a day. He was driven. His wife was an absolute basket case and spent much of her life in an institution. Now tell me about your excuses. They stoned him and left him for dead 5 times. And you go back, some of the driest literature you'll ever read is John Wesley's diary. And I went through it twice. But John Wesley would say, today, after the stones quit hurling, and they thought I was dead, I began to make my way out of the rock pile. He's the messenger of the day. He didn't have a plane to get on. He rode in some ragged boats across the sea. Even coming to America, under some real hardship conditions, making months of travel to preach a convention like this. He didn't do it half-heartedly. He did it with everything. Are you with me? But here's what I want to say. Because of the influence of that messenger was on the earth, there were men all the way across the earth that never heard about John Wesley, but under the influence of their messenger, shook their communities. How much more in this day, under the influence of our messenger? It's more than push play. You push play at home. Listen, let's get behind the Word of God with everything that's within our hearts. Susanna Wesley, his mother. Brother Branham talks about her. And I don't have exactly it laying before me, but she had a multitude of children. 17, I believe. That's quite a family. One of her biggest issues was her husband was a man that drank, and they lived in poverty, and she was on her own most of the time. But she had a desire in her heart. There was a drive that was within her that was indescribable to the community around her. She had a drive to which that she was so tired of seeing the church dead and wrapped in its formalism and wrapped in its boundaries. She had such a desire to see the move of God until she prayed 3 hours a day. This was before Facebook. This was before iPhones. This is before electricity in homes. This is before wash machines and microwaves and good stoves. She still had a drive to see God move. Oh, hallelujah. Something was bawling on the inside of her. She had a son. One was named Charles. And Charles would be known as one of the greatest songwriters that there'd ever be. Charles was moved by God. And his brother was named John. You're talking about a blessed womb. That John and Charles would come forth out of it. I find it strange that I don't hear much out of the rest of the family. They came out of the same womb. They came out of the same DNA. Don't get nervous. But there was something that God deposited in these boys. Are you with me? God deposited it on the inside of them. Something that drove them past the human element. I'm of a certain family. Well, look at Brother Branham's family. Drunks. Many of them wind up in prison. Their DNA, same wounds. Sometimes it's because of jealousy that hinders. Sometimes it's because of different phases in life. And let me just say, don't let no excuse hold you back. Are you with me now? Listen, I was a little boy. And my father began to believe this message in the early 60s. I stood at the funeral. I stood at the casket beside where Brother Branham was. And I was just a little boy. And I remember what it was like even. I feel like it was almost yesterday. And I was just a boy. But it seems like time has just went so quickly. I'd like to recapture some of that time. I'd like to recapture some of those moments. Are you with me? I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste my energies. Brother Branham mentions Fanny Crosby. And I'd like to just take a small snippet of her testimony. She didn't have much of the luxury that you and I have today. She says, I have been ridiculed, tortured over the years for not writing worldly songs. I want to just say something right here. You have some of the best music that this world has. And I daily listen to your music. I'm not saying that for you to pat me on the back, but I daily listen to your music. I hear your musicians. I hear your singers. Brother Tom confessed the other day he's been watching some of you on streaming. Let me just say this to you. I want to hear good music. And I want to hear it heartfelt. Are you with me now? I don't buy great albums of the world. I could care less about what they've done with their talents. We're not to pattern after them, and we're not to pattern after any of that nonsense out there. But God places music in a church, and that music is to glorify God. That music is to cast devils away. That music is to create an atmosphere. And as a musician, it's not about talent. It's about giving it to God. I would have liked to play the piano. I would have liked to play the guitar. But as a boy, all I could do was do this right here. And I became a drummer at 7 years old. And I heard all the critics of drums as I was coming up. And I don't like to play the piano. I would have liked to play this. But I read in the scriptures where it said it, play it on the high-sounding cymbal. And the loud, are you with me? And I literally, as long as I played the drums, I wanted to be the best that there was. Because God wants the best out of our lives. He don't want my talent. He wants me to surrender my life to God and allow me as an instrument to play through. That's free. Now let me just say, Fanny Crosby came across the deal where she was offered an easier way. If you'll just write worldly music, if you'll just write worldly music, write worldly songs, you can be rich. But where would you rather be today? When the millionaires of that day is gone and they're just nothing but dust. And in another dimension, there's a Fanny Crosby with perfect eyes and a perfect body because she surrendered her drive to God. She refused to sell out. We have personal stories about my singing. And I'm not going to go there because you would all leave. I'm not a singer. So I will never be offered to be some great songster, for lack of a better word. But the Martins that are sitting here, they come from a heritage of a family to which that was committed to God. That was not developed in a school somewhere or another. It was developed in a home setting. It was developed by prayer. It was developed by practice before God. It was developed by people, individuals, not just a family, but individuals surrendered their life to God and allowed their voices to be an echo. If somebody's going to sing the music before the bride of Jesus Christ, let me just say this to you, God has the best. We have no apologies. God has the best. when he's choosing before the foundation of the world, God chooses the best. We've got the best musicians. We've got the best singers. I'm not one of them, but we've got the best preachers. Men that are called to deliver this gospel in power and demonstration. Men that shake the kingdom of hell. You may not be so emotionally moved, but in another dimension, Satan is nervous and he's trembling, knowing that if you catch the vision for yourself in your life, he will have trouble when you go back home. Are you with me? Representatives from local churches have gathered. God gathered you here. God assembled you here. Many of you have driven long distances to be here. Many of you have taken monies that you don't have, and you came here, and something has driven you to be here. And you've come with an expectation. I want you to know God's here in this meeting to meet your expectations. Hallelujah. I have been offered great riches to do so, but that is not my calling. I was given a gift to write songs of praise and worship for my Savior. It seems that it was intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for this disposition. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. This is her own words. I might not have sung hymns of praise of God if I had been distracted by beautiful and interesting things about me. If I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. But when I die, the first face that I'll ever see will be the face of my blessed Savior. She writes the song, "When my life work is ended and I cross the great swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him. By the prints of the nails in his hands." Very familiar this week. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing that I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." The author of this book, David, would write about Jesus coming, write about other prophets. But today when he would sit down to write, he would not understand or even be able to possibly Brother Wayne, possibly be able to understand today. I am writing about the bride of Jesus Christ taking a rapture. His text today that he was writing was more than a song. It was more than the inspiration of the lyrics of a man. But today he was writing the theme scriptures of the bride of Jesus Christ taking rapture. And our prophet, as he stood with an open book given to the bride of Jesus Christ, and he's declaring it night after night after night after night, and literally 90% of the audiences was not catching it. But he still delivered it with all of his heart. Because many of you were still in wombs. Many of you wasn't born yet. But God knew you were coming. Hallelujah. Listen, God's made great preparations for you. He's been away for 2,000 years building you a city beyond the fathoms of your mind. You cannot even comprehend what it's going to be like. Brother Ron, I don't know where you're going. Many of you cannot comprehend the services that you will have in a new building. You cannot comprehend the greatness of the sermons that will be preached behind the pulpits. Because we are light that is pressing against the darkness. And there's only so much time left to work. And God has his best on the earth at the right time. He knows he's not a God of failure. He's not a God of getting by. He's not a God of I'm just going to struggle through. He's a God that has an invincible army on the earth that are attributes of his mind that he released as potentials on the earth. It's been said thousands of times, you're bone of his bone, you're life of his life, you're power of his power, spirit of his spirit. You're the manifested message of the hour, standing in human clay. We're not waiting on somebody else. We are the fulfillment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're what God had on his mind. Get out of your mind someday, someday, someday. Oh, one day we'll have a revival. It's happening now. It's going on now. The prophet stands in almost unfamiliar territory. And he stands amongst men that have no idea what is going on. Many of them are attracted maybe for stories that they've heard, or because a crowd is gathered, or because of a gift. I say unto you, this was more than a gift. You missed the point if it was just a gift. This was Jesus Christ himself to this generation. Not the man, but the Christ. Brother Ron, I didn't stand in the prayer line. He still called your name. He still called your name. You may not have stood in a physical prayer line and the prophet calling your name and telling you your address. But I want you to understand the God that knew before the foundation of the world of where you would hear this message and who you would peer it through. And that seed began to burst forth for life. The moment of that bursting forth for life, Satan's got a problem. I want to say this to you. There has not been or is or will be nothing that can stop this message. When Brother Branham was standing over top of that little boy and he realized that this was the dead child that he'd seen in a vision 2 years before, and he said, go get me my Bible I want to read the fly leaf. And he realized this is him. Notice what he said. He said, you could line up every devil in hell, and nothing could stop this little boy from coming off of the ground. I want to say this to you tonight. You can line up every devil that is in hell, every bit of his influence, every bit of his power, and there's nothing that can stop this word. Nothing can stop this rapture. God has a mission. Hallelujah. God has a mission. It's not you that's the driving force. It's not a man that's the driving force. It's God that is the driving force. It's God behind it. Hallelujah. The prophet would stand there and watch us in a vision, and he would see some get out of line, and he would scream with all of his might, get back in line, get back in line, get back in line. It might hurt your feelings sometimes when your pastor begins to preach hard sermons to you, but it's an echo of God screaming, get back in line, stay in line. Hallelujah. Prophet of God says this, I'm so glad that a man can so completely serve God. Tell the devil, don't know what to do with him. Just obey God. God completely. Tell the devil, said, oh my, get away. I don't want to hear it no more. And you completely serve God. One of the greatest things as I close this morning is our commitment. Sometimes things become common. Some things become familiar. Actually, our atmospheres, if we're not careful, become familiar to us. We'll take it for granted. But God constantly reminded the children of Israel, don't you forget this. Forget not this. Forget not this. The prophet of God preached to us spiritual amnesia. Let me just say, there's never been another messenger that stood on the earth that was given the opportunity and the responsibility to bring to you the seven mysterious thunders and the seven seals. And it is without debate. It did not have to be edited by man. God did it himself. It was more than the voice of William Marion Branham, but it was the voice that was behind the voice. I would say that God's not finished just when Brother Branham said his final amen, but God is in his continuing work, even here this morning. God will not just conclude at the end of this service, but he will continue to do the work in your life, in your home. Are you with me? I want to put this earth on notice. We're going to work. We're going to work. We're going to work. And there's nothing that's going to stop. Revelation chapter 5 says it like this, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. I'm one of them. And hast made us unto God our kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Brother Ron, one day over in heaven, just over in the glory land, one day we're going to have victory. Really? You're absolutely missing the point. I believe that children can be in schools and be one in their whole school that can live the life. I believe that you might be a businessman, and you might be the only businessman in your entire area that believes the message of the hour. Not just more than believes it, but lives the message of the hour. And you're a living witness. Are you with me now? I believe it can be churches that are united by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're not looking back even decades ago. Are you with me? He's among us right now in this meeting. I don't know what you're anticipating in this meeting, but he has come among you in the last services. He's here this morning. He will be with us this afternoon. It is him that is moving behind this. Congratulations on a beautiful building. It is a masterpiece. But it did not happen by chance. It took you to realize the vision for your local area. That's just Tim. Really? Now I'm going to preach to you for about 2 more minutes. Sometimes we take it familiar. This probably will be my last service now. Sometimes we become familiar. That's just Brother Tim. Really? Really? Well, to get where he's at, you've had to been where he's been. And while many of you were playing games and going about your daily activity, God physically made him to sit and to digest this message. It didn't happen by chance that he's a preacher's preacher. It didn't happen by, I want to be that. God made him do it. Brother Wendell, God made him do it. God made you do it. God drove you. What was in God's deposit was driven. I hear him say, come on now. Are you with me? Don't go to sleep on me. Wake up. Now maybe that's to the people in the internet. But he's driven. He can preach a 20-minute poetic sermon and make all you well, but he's at work. He's at work. God's given him work to do. I'm talking about him, but I'm also talking about every pastor in this building, every preacher in this building. You literally work untold hours to get prepared for a message and then to deliver that message in the right attitude and the right atmosphere. And you deliver it, and many times you go, that didn't go nowhere. But God's using that gift to deliver the word. And I want to declare unto you, it's more than a man. I don't care if that scalds every devil in hell. I don't care if that scalds the critics that we have all around us. You know, our critics sometimes make such an echo, and they've never won one soul. They can get behind of a keyboard and be some of the greatest philosophers, women preachers, men preachers that never been called. They've never studied. They've never did anything but raise up a bunch of questions and inspired right out of the pit of hell. They've not surrendered their life to Christ and not given their... Well, I'm going to preach to you. They've not went through what men of God have had to go through in life to deliver the message of the hour, but they can stand as a critic. I've got a word for them. Tribulation's coming. Dig a hole in the ground, hundreds of foot deep. Get you all the gold that you can get. Get oxygen tanks. Bombs are coming. We realized a long time ago, and you're thinking now, you're just building the ministry up. We realized a long time ago that you're more than just a church. You're more than just a gathering of people. You're more than just a group of unique gifts. Brother Gary, I was redheaded when I first met you. Because of Brother Daniel was slipping away from us, I was invited to your little local assembly. And Daniel was there a couple of services. You would take me home. Sister Stanky would fix chicken dumplings, those great big pots. Man, I like chicken and dumplings. And she made a statement to me. She said, "You spoil real easy." And we set up to wait till late in the night talking about the great victories of God. And I remember talking to you many years ago. And you looked at me and you said, "Where should I go?" And I said, "I'll tell you what I'd do if I lived here. I'd get in my car and I'd ride 2 hours. And I'd drive to Tim Pruitt's. And I'd absorb everything that he's got to say. I'd say that it's paid great big dividends." So, but Brother Ron, what are you doing now? I'm not trying to pull people to Brother Tim's or even to my own or any other church. I just want you to go to church. I just want you to surrender your life to Christ. What causes people to drive past all of those churches? Now I'm going to drive my point. What causes you to drive past all of those nominal systems to come to a place like this? I'll tell you, life. And once you get a drink of this, you don't want nothing else. The woman at the well, she got a drink. Who told me everything? Come see a man. I say to you, come see a man, Jesus, that told me everything. I don't know what you'll see in this meeting, but there's something that's driven you here to see him. And if you can get beyond our hillbilly ways and our strange voices and see him, if you can get past all of that and see him, he wants to come to you. I don't know what your tomorrow is, and no way could I know. But I know this. Brother Branham said a deeper consecration and a deeper committal. Yesterday evening, he came in the room while I was praying, and I poured my heart out to him. Because I'm very concerned about you. I'm very concerned. That's why I'm here. I'm concerned about you. We don't have many services left. I don't want to waste a one. I don't know what your personal life is all about and what you're going through and your difficulties. But I want to ask you this morning, will you surrender everything to him? Maybe there are things that have become common and has distracted you and literally caused you to lose focus. And maybe, well, you can use this term, you've became backslidden even in your own spirit and allowed your spirit to become unclean because of the things of the world. God gathers us
And he would speak to my heart this morning to deliver those words to you. I just want to ask you, would you just bow your heads just for a moment? I'm sorry that I didn't deliver this as well as maybe I should have. But I did my best. And I place it into the hands of God. But maybe there's been a little coolness that have slipped in your life. And there's just some things that have got between you and God. And you'd like to just say, Brother Ron, I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Thank you. 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 I don't know what time we have to be at lunch. Could those with their hands up, could we just come and stand at this altar just now? Could we just come? Those that raised your hands, could you just come? I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need you. If you could sing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say this to you. I want this to be more than an exercise. I want this to be more than just something that we do. Paul would say it, I press towards the mark of the high calling, forgetting those things which are behind. There's some things that we lay aside, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Things that would cause us to become cool and lukewarm and lose our focus. He's here. He's here. He's already moved on your heart. Now you've stepped out of your pew and you've walked to this place tonight. I don't know your position in life. Maybe it's mother or father. Maybe it's a teenager standing here. All we can do is ask for repentance of yesterday and ask God to change our lives like never before. And as Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And the angel of God took the coal from off of the altar and laid it on his lips. Oh, that God would come and fill our hearts today with a fresh revival in our hearts, a fresh and burning desire and a passion to serve the Lord. Almighty God, we bow our heads before you and we stand as your children. We stand as the redeemed of the earth. Lord, we're not de-Christianizing. We just want more. Lord, I don't want more of the personality of a man. That'll do me no good. I need more than my favorite preacher's experience. But Heavenly Father, I need you. I need you to pulsate in my life. I need you to live. I need you to consume us, God, like never before. Maybe we've had many experiences in our lives. But Lord, just draw us nearer to you. Lord, we realize that, Father, it takes more than our energies and more than our desires, more than even our talents. Lord, we surrender to you. We raise the white flag. I need you, Father. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm helpless without you. Lord, you see every man, woman, boy, and girl that's standing here today.
No way possibly could I lay my hands on them. But you've already touched their hearts. Now, Lord Jesus, we just worship you. We stand here, and may this moment be that predestinated moment to which that you thought of before the foundation of the world. A moment, a few seconds, maybe a partial, even just a partial scripture fulfilled in our lives. We can drive a tie post down like never before. Lord, I surrender myself to you. I surrender my future. I surrender my ambitions. Lord, I surrender Ronald Dean Spencer to you. Lord Jesus, nobody else can do our job. Neither can we do their job. Let us put you first like never before in our lives. If it's building a building, if it's witnessing to someone, carrying a book, translating a message, preaching a Wednesday night service, let us give it everything that we've got. Let us get beyond ourselves and the veil of humanity. Whether it's singing a song or playing the music. Oh God, we surrender to you. May you be that driving force, unseen. But may we realize it's what you deposited in our lives today. May you breathe across this audience this morning. We surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name. Oh God. Oh God. Oh, I need the Don't you just let him brood over your life. Hallelujah. Just let him come to me. Just let him. May it be just wave after wave. Thou art worthy, O God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I need. Welcome to where you are. Hallelujah. 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 Just let him speak to your heart. Soul, look up with.
tell them this morning, I am thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and been told thy love to me.
Sing it again, draw me near. Died on Calvary.
let's just sing it again and worship him this morning. Oh, he came to me. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a few announcements. If you have not yet paid for the meals or for your lodging, please see Sister Marie today. She needs to gather the money to pay the camp. So again, if you haven't paid for your meals, please see Sister Marie. Also, there will be a minister's fellowship at 2 o'clock this afternoon in the Hameter Lodge. It's the main lodge right there when you first enter the campgrounds. Amen. So the ministers, if you would plan for that at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Can't You See Why I'm Happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. Amen. The revealed word that was spoken. Amen. Let's sing that as we're dismissed. Oh, can't.